I don't know where the time went, 17 years. I really don't. I remember yesterday I went out and I remember going upstairs and talking to the three pastors, Brother Trinity, Brother Brian, and Brother Lindell, and trembling before them. I felt like I was being interviewed by the Gestapo. Seriously, they're just sitting there like, so, what do you think? You want to go? Yes, sir. And I'm just shaking like a leaf. I don't know what I don't know what I said. All I know is I was happy to get out of there as fast as possible. I must have done something right because they sent me, and I don't know. It was amazing. I praise the Lord that they sent me, even as a young man who was not married but had a desire. I guess they knew they were sending me to be under my dad and Brother Brent. So I was a semi-safe, but praise the Lord, 3 weeks after I got there, I met my wife. 3 weeks. 2 months later, I proposed. 6 months later, we were married. So I got that deal done. All right. Got the ring on the finger. She's mine. All right. Now I feel like I'm ready to go. I'm set. Exactly. They said it. They told me, we are not comfortable in sending you as a single man, but because we know how you are, we know who we're sending you with, so we feel a little bit more comfortable, but you need to find a wife. So, praise the Lord, God was merciful. He really was. Alright, 1 Timothy chapter 2. I just want to thank you all for all this whole week, all what you've done for us, as always. The food, as always. The fellowship, as always. The church, the spirit that has been here, as always. It's just, it never ceases to amaze me there's no wonder why I love mission conferences. There's no wonder why I just love being here, and just this whole atmosphere is just absolutely amazing. I just want to thank all of you, especially those of you who were cooking in the morning meetings for us, and it was just absolutely perfect. You guys did a great job, and I want to thank you all for all of your work, and those who cleaned up. I appreciate Josh Slanger and all the work he was doing. He's big blessing. Amen. It's wonderful to see people come back. Yeah, we make mistakes. Yeah, we do stupid things, but God is a God of mercy.
Amen.
A God of mercy who loves to forgive. And man, aren't we lucky that He forgives sins? If we confess our sins, He is merciful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wow. What an amazing God we serve. All right. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We'll start in verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. For this is a good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. What is good and acceptable in the sight of God? Who will have all men to be saved. That is the Lord's desire. You know what God wants? He wants people saved. He wants people saved. It boggles my mind that is what God wants. He doesn't want people to have a better life. He doesn't want people just to enjoy, have a great time. No, He wants people saved. He wants people to come to the knowledge of truth. And you know, every mission conference, there is one song that reminds me of the mission conference. One song that every time I hear it, I have it on my Spotify account, and I have it played over and over and over again, many, many times. People need the Lord. I've heard that song. I sang it when I remember I sang it with Bernie one time. It was just, it's something that's on my heart. Every time I hear it, I think of this mission conference. People need the Lord. And as I was thinking about that, and just a few months ago, while I was preparing, thinking about what I was going to say here, it came to me, people still need the Lord.
Yeah.
People still need the Lord. Nothing has changed. The years that we have come, all of these conferences, nothing has changed. It's even more urgent to remind people still need the Lord.
Right.
We're getting closer and closer, brothers and sisters, to the time when Jesus will reappear. He will come for us. closer and closer. It's very soon. We can tell it. We can feel it. It's just there. And you know, what we say that we say everywhere you go is a mission field. And we say your mission field is right in your own backyard, your work, your school. Yeah, that is true. But I was just thinking, people need the Lord. And we try to, and we preach the gospel here where we are. You preach where you can. You tell who you can. And you know, I was thinking of the differences between a mission field, or let's say a local mission field here in your own hometown, and a foreign mission field. It's a little bit different. It has a different aspect. As I was thinking when I lived here, how often I was confronted with different Bible teachings, the gospel in different ways by different people. If that was walking downtown, just visiting and hearing somebody else other than our church preaching. I heard that many, many times. Other people preaching on the streets right in front of Alamo. I'm thinking, oh, they got the same idea. They stole our spot. That's our spot. That's my spot. And I don't like, hey, what are they doing here? But then they're preaching the gospel. Then you turn on the radio and you hear, there's radio stations with the gospel. There's somebody preaching. Wow. Then you go to Walmart and you look at books and there's a Bible.
Yeah.
And they're cheap. Then you go to you look at the bookstore and I think I looked for Christian bookstores. I think there's 15 here in San Antonio. 15 in English and Spanish, 15 bookstores. Christian bookstores. Only. We know what kind of Christianity really it is, but you can find something good in there. There is the gospel in there somewhere if you really look for it. Yeah. Now, if you try to witness to a person here in the States, they have multiple options. They'll hear it. Yeah, you got a chance, and they'll hear it from somewhere else because we're in the Bible Belt. Yeah, that whole area. This was once had a huge impact, and it still has an impact. You still see it. You see it in the back. Somebody had, I think, Janice Briggs on the back of her picture that somebody wrote, you know, a gospel, or John 3:16 on the back of a truck, or somebody else had on a truck, you know, just driving down, and John 3:16 written on the back. And wow, that's important. That's great. So their options and the opportunities are much greater, and for a person who you're witnessing has great opportunities to get saved. Now let's take that same person and take that person to a foreign field. You may have one chance to get the gospel to him. You're passing out tracts and that person walks right by you. If you don't stop that person and say, excuse me, sir, I have a question for you, you may not see that person again, first. Second of all, you have no guarantee anybody else is going to preach in the gospel.
That's right, yeah.
Third, there are, and Torun, there are three Christian bookstores in Torun, all Catholic. Now, you don't have the opportunities. That person may have just you and only you in that moment, and if you say, I'm a little scared, I don't know, and you let that person go, you may not have another opportunity to get the gospel to him again. There are hardly any radio programs going. There are not so many people out there who are somebody else who's going to preach in the gospel as you have here. So it's a little bit different. It's quite unlikely that your friend has another Christian friend other than you. So you are that person for that person. You are the light for that person, as Brother Don was saying. You are the light, and if you don't share the light, that person may not see the light ever again. Yeah. So it's totally different. Amen. And I want you to think tonight, to remember, and I want to try to refocus our attention to the foreign mission field, why it is so important for us to understand and for you to support, to pray, and to think about, and maybe even surrender yourself to a foreign field. Why? Because the greater need. There are people, as Brother Don showed the videos of Europe, and Europe and Poland is just like those videos you saw. Just like that. People get a Bible, and sometimes it's the first time in their life they've ever held a Bible in their hands. First time. How many of us have Bibles, multiple Bibles, in our homes? And many times there are people who are not even believers or atheists, but they have a Bible. And there are people who don't even have a Bible. People still that are living in sin in a foreign field, waiting for someone to come to them and share with them the gospel news. The good news.
Amen.
Good news.
Amen.
We are tired, sick and tired of hearing bad news. Aren't you?
Amen.
That's why I don't turn on the radio. I don't listen to the, I don't watch the news. News programs don't give good news. This right. person died. That person had killed that person. There's this virus is rampaging around, and now it's worse and worse. And where is the good news?
Yeah.
Where is the good news?
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Good news. I got good news for you. Let me share with you the good news. Let me show you what God has done for you. People are there not even knowing that there's a God who loves them, who died for them, who gave his life for them. They're lost in their religion. Many of you here, I believe, were former Catholics, as my wife was. Do you remember the burden? Do you remember all the things you had to do just to please a God that you could never please? That you was never pleased? You could never get there. My wife remembers that. She said, I was tired of serving a God who was never satisfied. He was never satisfied. I had to do this, and I had to do that. I had to go there, and I had to do this prayer, and I had to do that prayer, this sacrament, that sacrament, and nonstop, it was something else, and it was never enough. Never enough. And people are just sick and tired of religion and trying and never accomplishing anything. And all they want to hear is good news. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest. Rest in the Lord Jesus that nobody else could ever satisfy. People still need the Lord. People still need the gospel. People are still living in sin. They still need someone to go there and personally deliver the message. No matter how many times we try to send out videos, YouTubers, and all these other things, you cannot change, you cannot exchange the personality, the interpersonal relationship that you have with a person, looking them eye to eye and sharing them the gospel and telling them, Jesus died for you. Here's a tract. Please read it. Please call us. Please come and visit us. You can't change that. That's impossible to do. Online, of course, I'm trying to say. People still living in sin in a foreign field. And this world is getting worse and worse as the day goes by. What are the times? Isaiah calls it 520. It says Isaiah 520. Woe unto them that call evil good. And good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. It makes no sense. This world makes no sense. It's upside down. What they call good is evil and evil good is like, really? Seriously? There's someone on the street trying to preach the gospel. They say, go home, you idiot. We don't want to hear you. But there's another person who's out there saying, Satan is the best way. They're like, good job. We want to hear that person. What? What? What is this world coming to? The times of the Gentiles, brothers and sisters, are coming to an end. The times of the Gentiles are coming to an end soon. It's just a proof. Paul said it was very soon then. Paul said that. Now, we got 2,000 years, about 2,000 years later, man, it's really soon. It's right around the corner. Christ our Redeemer is coming for His church. Yeah. Read 1 Thessalonians 4:15. You read that. It says, and I believe it says, encourage these at the end of that, right? 1 Thessalonians, excuse me. I have it in my head in Polish. I can't quite remember it. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The comfort of knowing that Jesus is coming back for His church is a comfort for His church, but it's not a comfort for the world. It's a doomsday for the world. Really. We have got to get going because people still need the Lord. People still are living in sin. People still are fighting religious doctrines, religion that does nothing for them. Have we forgotten how it was? Have we forgotten how grateful we were when someone told us? Have we forgotten? Sometimes I'm afraid we do. We get caught up in this world. We get caught up in pleasures and life and work and kids and sickness and health and all these things around us. And we forget there are people still living in sin. Are we doing all that we can to get the gospel out? And I'm thinking especially onto the foreign fields. Why am I concentrating on that? Like I said, the gospel here is ready for anybody who is willing to at least just turn on the radio, turn on the TV. It's everywhere. If you really want to look for it. It's not everywhere over there. Very few people are preaching on the streets. Very few people are passing out tracts. Very few people are doing a work for the Lord to the general public. Very few. That's one of the things that drove me back to Poland whenever I decided to be a missionary. Yeah, I was thought about Mexico. It was a thought. It was a huge temptation. I love Mexico. I love the food. I love the temperature. I love everything about it. I don't like the cold. I tell my wife every time. Now for some reason, I think it's her fault that we chose Austin because it's even colder, and she loves the cold, and she loves winter. She's like my winter wonderland. Like, oh, what have I done? Why did I choose Austin of all places? It's like Siberia up there. For me, if it's last time we went looking for lots, we're looking for our where we're gonna build our house in the winter. That was not a good idea. I mean, I know what it looks like in the dead of winter. It's beautiful, but not easy to get around with unless you have chains on your tires. But man, there's hardly anybody on the streets. You walk down and all you hear are everything that's under the sun, but not the gospel. Whatever you want is there, but who is preaching the gospel? Who is sharing the good news? Who is sharing the light? Even the Christians who are there are not doing that because it's a little bit awkward, because they're a little scared. And I understand that it's not their cup of tea. But shoot, the Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's our responsibility, and if they're not doing, we gotta do it, and we gotta train others to do it. And man, wouldn't it be an amazing thing that we would get churches in Torun, our church in Torun now, and the church in Gdańsk, and the church later on in Austin, that they will start getting together and send out their own missionaries. Amen. Shoot, man, can't we do that? How are we gonna do that if we don't have enough laborers? We can't do that unless we have something to work with. And man, can't we cover more ground, Brother John? Can't we cover more ground with more people? Can't we cover more ground, Corey? Can't we do more? Oh man, what if we had a couple teams?
Yeah.
We're waiting for Brother Don when he comes this next summer. He's gonna have 30 people. We're gonna have teams of 5 or 6 people going all over the place, all over the cities in Poland and Gdańsk. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, man.
But man, what if we could do that weekly?
Yeah.
They would be sick and tired of us really fast.
But man, they would know.
They would know what the gospel is. They would have no excuse. But we're not doing that because we don't have enough.
The laborers.
A few.
The laborers are few.
Now, I know I might be preaching to the wrong exact crowd. I don't know. I don't know who the Lord is touching right now. I really don't know what you're going through in your life at this very moment. I don't know. I already talked to a few people who said, man, I want to do something. I don't know. Maybe this is somebody, maybe somebody else is out there saying, I want to do something, just don't know what. There are opportunities. And now I'm not saying either that it's only Poland or Mexico. Foreign fields, plural. They're everywhere. I'm pretty sure you can find something, and it's not find someone to go with. Say, hey, you know what? What do you think about this? Want to go with me? Let's go to Romania. What's the big deal? No big deal. Hey, they need help there too. There are cities, we heard, cities, 400, 500,000 people. No churches. No missionaries. Let me get back to my message before I get off on the tangent. People still are in need of the gospel. Which means Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, if you don't mind, please open your Bibles. Romans 10, 14. I'm in 11. There we go. Verse 13. Let's start from there. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Whosoever. Brother Brent loves this verse. He preaches it all every time he's in Poland. He's like, this is my favorite. Whosoever. That's me. That includes me.
Yeah.
That includes anybody. Whosoever. That's true. Yeah. Whosoever. But then it goes on. 14. How then? Question. Now he's going to present the question to people. Yeah. People, whosoever hears, but, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?
Good question.
Amen. Very hard to do. Now we've heard of testimonies of people receiving the word of God and getting saved directly through the word of God. But somebody took the word of God to them. Handed it. Maybe handed it to them, or maybe they found like that sister found it in the gutter. But she found the word of God, and the word of God touched her. But somebody took the effort of printing it, of sending it, paying for it, getting out of customs, giving it to the people, and handing it to somebody who gave it to somebody who that somebody threw on the floor, didn't care for, but somebody else found treasure.
Amen.
And they got saved.
Amen.
That would not have happened if someone didn't have a vision. And someone didn't do something, and somebody didn't send that Bible to that person in one way, shape, or form. God was able to direct it. Who was it? Was it Brother Mike? That got a tract in the field. Mike Pemberton, right? Brother Mike Pemberton. He found a tract in the middle of a field. Talk about a seed.
Yeah.
That's a different kind of a seed.
Yeah.
Whew. That seed is still growing and producing. Can God use any means or methods? Yes, He can. But He uses people to get the message out there. Somebody passed out that track to somebody. Somebody took that track, went in his pocket, maybe flew out of his pocket when he pulled out his, I don't know what it was, his work, maybe pulled out his handkerchief, he's hot, and that thing fluttered out and went flying all over the place and found his way in the path. Who's to say God can't do that? But somebody had to do it. It had to be presented. Somebody. It wasn't the internet. It wasn't just random. It was God who motivated and sent and delivered that message directly to him. Preachers are still needed. It says here, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? If they haven't believed, they can't. If they can't believe, they can't. If they haven't heard, they can't believe if they haven't heard about him.
Yeah, we don't know.
We're still in religion. We're still in Catholicism. Mary is the only one who saves, and we believe Mary is a mother of God, and everything else that goes along with it. You know all the whole entire story of the Catholic Catholicism, probably better than I do. People in a foreign field may never hear the gospel unless someone presents it to them personally. Because it says here, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Preachers are needed. Preachers are needed. Everywhere. everywhere. I'm not just saying on the foreign fields, preachers are needed everywhere. Start here if you have to. You have a burden for foreign fields? Start here. That's what I did. I came back and I knew I wanted to go back as a missionary, but I said, you know what? I don't want to just do nothing and sit around and then say, I want to be a missionary. They say, well, what have you done? I knew it already. I knew already. I was taught from day one. Listen, you want to do something, you do it where you are.
Right.
Was it easy? No.
Did I like it?
Not at all.
Was I scared?
You bet you I was. But praise the Lord, we had a group of young people. Young people. The people we went out with, me, Corey, Mijah, Stephen, and a whole bunch of other us young guys back then, really, really young whippersnappers. What did we do? We went out and we preached. And after we preached, we came back to my grandma's house and just visited and had a great time, just sitting and talking, just having a good old time being with each other.
Amen.
What a blessing it was. But you know what that taught us? It taught us to think of somebody else other than ourselves. There are other people out there other than ourselves who, and it wasn't important about what kind of car we drove or where we went. We were together. We had frozen pizzas that my grandma would buy, and I would put it in. Frozen pizza. Nothing special. It was just a simple thing. But we had a blast. And I have memories of that. Great, wonderful memories. Because we did something further and beyond just ourselves. Now, I'm not praising myself at all. I'm just telling you, you can do it. You can do the same thing. If young men can do it, it doesn't matter how old you are. You can start now. Preaching some way, some sort. Brothers and sisters, the clock is ticking. The clock is ticking and it's ticking fast. Time is running out. People are dying right and left, and people are dying and going to hell. And if we can just save one lost sheep, the 99, yeah, we would like to save the 99. What does the Bible say?
Joy in heaven over.
One. Not 100. Not 1,000. Not 1,000,000. One. Can you do one? Can we do one? We can do one. I think every one of us can do one. We can try at least. We can put an effort at least. We can go out. Hey, there are brothers here who go out weekly.
Different sorts of ministries. Join one. You don't do something right now? Join one. Do something.
Amen.
Try to get one. Try to go out and say, you know what? It may not be right away. It may take 10, 15 years.
Joy is never over
that one soul. And you don't know the track that you pass out, where it's going to end up. I don't know. All the tracks I've passed out, I said, Lord, you bless the tracks that go out. I know that people grab them, they crumble them up, and they throw them in the trash, and I say, oh, don't you know what you're doing? And I pray like Stephen, Lord, they know not what they do. And then there are people who take it home, they put it in their pocket, and you say, oh, yes, take it home. You'll find it later, pulling out your groceries. What is that? I forgot about that. And we have a sister who had our track on the fridge for a year. Looking at it, thinking, I should go visit that church. Eventually she did. People still need the Lord. Missionary work is still important. It's not old-fashioned, because God is never old-fashioned. God's word is always current, and it works in hearts and changes souls and lives like you wouldn't believe. Just think of your own life.
How it's changed. If you can't think of any other
better example, think of the life that God changed in you. Think of what God had given you and where you are now. You're in a Saturday night church, in the Saturday night commission conference, listening to some foreign preacher, right, you've never heard of before, standing here telling you, you're in church Saturday night. That's not a common place to be a Saturday night. Man, there are so much better places to be. Worldly better places. But there's no better place than the spiritual realm. There's no better place than being in church, listening to the Word of God, and thinking of something else other than just yourself. Missionary work is still important. I have quick two things that you can do to get the gospel out onto a foreign field. Number one is general support. Just support. One of the, in that point, I have two sub-points. Prayer and, unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know how you want to look at it. It's not an easy subject, but in a financial way. It's very difficult to live in Europe. It's a very expensive place to live and buy and everything else. But we need your support. We covet your prayers. Amen. We covet them more than anything else, brothers and sisters. You know why? Because with your prayers, you're presenting our ministry and bringing it before God regularly. Regularly. And we do the same for you. This church is in our prayers regularly. At home and in the church. We constantly think of you. We think of the Church of Mexico. We pray for you guys and we covet your prayers the same way. Why? James 5:16 says at the end of that says what? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Righteous man. Let's talk about multiple. Now let's think of a church. 100 people, 150 of effectual fervent prayers. Now we're getting somewhere. Now we can do some, and do some miracles that would not be possible if just one would pray. And eventually something would happen down the road, but man, we get 100? We get 100 multiple effectual fervent prayers? Man, if one person effectual fervent prayer availeth much, then 100? Much more. We covet those prayers, brothers and sisters. We covet souls. When that happens, what do you think happens? Souls get saved. Lives get changed. Hearts get touched. Unbelieving atheists get saved and suddenly are out on the streets preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not possible? Oh, I have seen it happen dozens of times, if not hundreds of times. People you would never think of preaching the gospel. We have a brother coming here very often to the revivals. What's his name? Brother Spurgeon. How was he? You know the story. Would you ever consider passing him a track? Preaching him the gospel, telling him he's a sinner and going to hell? Somebody did. Somebody did. And he is now where he is because of somebody who prayed and somebody who was not scared to present the gospel directly to him. Now, this other part, the financial part, I'm not going to dwell on it. If you haven't taken part in it, it's just look back at that chart and see what this church does. And I want to tell you, this church is amazing in what they do. I have been, if I can't think of any other word, flabbergasted. You know what that is? Look in the dictionary. Flabbergasted. Amazed. Completely shocked at what happens in this church. And I think how many the missionaries in the past, at one point that was 11, at one point it was, I can't remember what the peak at one time, I think it was 10 or 11, at one time, and I tell people, my church supported at one time 10, 11, and how many people do you have? 150 on a good day? Right? Am I right? About right? Something like that? Usually it was a Wednesday night crowd. The core. Which we know all about that, the core of the church. It's a Wednesday night crowd. They're the ones who are doing the majority of the work. You should come out Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. Don't come out only Sunday mornings, 11 o'clock. Come out for all the meetings.
Amen.
They're all important. every single one of them. I never miss. Why? I love being in the house of the Lord, hearing God's word, because it touched me, moved me, and challenged me. And you need to be challenged. We need to be challenged. Get involved in a foreign mission, please. It is exciting. If you don't know what I'm talking about, talk to some of the brothers here who look like they've been here a while. Brother Johnny, Brother Lindell, Brother Brian, maybe, Brother Billy, talk to them. Ask them how it was. Ask them about the history of this church. Ask them how it is. I think most of those were missionaries, former missionaries. Think about it. It's amazing. It's amazing to hear what this church has done. Get involved. We covet your prayers and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The financial aspect I don't have to get into at all. I don't feel comfortable at all. I'm not one of, praise the Lord, I don't have to be one of those church, those people who go around called moochinary. I don't have to be one of those. I thank God for that. And you know what else I thank God? I don't have to go on deputation. I can be right here with you guys and spend most of my time with the people I love the most. You guys. This church is my family. We miss you guys dearly. I miss you guys. I love being here. I love being in, I didn't want to miss. But I knew there was somebody out there waiting for me who needed the gospel from me. And maybe there's someone here tonight. You love being here, but the Lord is pulling at your heart, telling you, you can do a little bit more. You can go reach one person on a foreign field, some way, somehow, supporting or surrendering, because people still need the Lord. Amen. Thank you.